Before them, we'll talk a little bit about Megillah. Remember when we visited Rav Asher Weiss, and Rav Asher told us that it was an important part of Slichos. Remember? Misha Ana Lachma Vena Bahar Mariahu Yaneno, Misha Ana Yitzchak Beno, Misha Ana Yaakov. Because it stems from the Gemara. The Gemara in Tainus says that when they made a Tainus Sibur. I was thinking this morning about Tainus Sibur, because Cheshvan was the big month of Tainus Sibur, because now, in the days that we had a Beis Din, they began to fast. If there was no rain at this point, the fasts began. So this is the period of the Maseches Tainus, and unfortunately we haven't had that much rain, although I hear it's going to change over Shabbos. But Baruch Hashem, I can't imagine a bigger Gishmei Bracha than the opposite, right? We haven't had rain, but all the missiles that have fallen on our people, Baruch Hashem, you can't imagine the types of nisim that are happening. It's simply unspeakable. It's illogical. There are missiles falling 2 inches, 3 feet, near a bus, near a house. People are in the mamad. So Baruch Hashem, we hope that Hashem will send rain down to us. But until He sends rain down to us, He's helping that all of our enemies and all our Avinu, He's Magen Avraham, He's protecting us. So instead of a time, this is a time to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Odu L'Adonai Ki Tov, Ki Li'olam Chazon. It should just continue. And so Avram davens, and when they had a tainus, they would add to Shemon Esrei. They would add 6 brachas to Shemon Esrei, and the brachas would end. Misha and Avram Avinu Har Maria Bracha Tashem, Bracha Help Us. So they would actually insert this as part of the Shemon Esrei. And the problem is we don't really hear Avram davening on Har Maria. There's no davening. In fact, he's very quiet. Akedah is a very, very quiet experience. Very little conversation. Avram says Hineni, one word answers. Yitzchak asks a question. That's it. There's really no conversation, at least it's recorded. In fact, the sounds there are the sounds of the animals, the sounds of the shofar. Again, we don't hear it blowing, but you imagine if an animal's stuck in the thicket, it's making a lot of noise. It's screaming and wailing and screeching. So there's silence in the Akedah, and that silence says a lot about accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. The lack of auditory response suggests a lack of human kickback or defiance. All that being said, what davening is this Gemara referring to? So there are two deals, one in the Yishalmi, one in the Medrash, and each is important. The classic approach, which is the Yishalmi's approach, is that after the Akedah, after his success, again, he doesn't execute the Akedah, but after he was willing to and he feels successful, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like I was kovesh, my rachamim, for my son, in order to fulfill your command, please in the future when my children anger you or infuriate you, please be kovesh your anger, and please help them and rescue them. Kishem shekavashti es rachamim ibni v'ratzi l'shchot aso kein tichbashu rachamechas kascha me'alecha. And this is something those who say korbanos, this is something we say in korbanos before the Shema, just a little bit of a plug for korbanos. Korbanos is not an all or nothing proposition. It's not like you have to say all the korbanos and no korbanos at all. If you want to start the starter korbanos, which is pretty much for me what I try to accomplish, is just try to say some of the parts in the end. If you're looking to just find the more important aspect of korbanos, it's those last couple sections, the Brisa of Rabbi Shimon working backwards, the Mishnah Ezeo Mekom and Shesvachim, the Prakim in Tanakh, and in the Torah in particular that talk about Korbanos, Kiyar, and Korban Ketores, and Korban Tamid. Why are these so important? These are important because there are 3 sections, one from Torah, one from Mishnah, and one from Gemara, sections from the Torah, the 5th parak of Zvachim, Ezeo Mekom and Shesvachim, which is the only parak in Shas of Adam Machlokas, and the Brisa of Rabbi Shmo, which describes Yud Gil Midos, Shatar and Edreshes Bram. And these are the few parts of Torah that help us fulfill our daily quota to learn a little bit of Torah, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara. Now that can be taken in 2 ways. For Yeshiva Bachurim, who spend all their time learning Gemara, this solves the problem. It's famous Kasha. The Gemara says you should divide your time in 3. Yet we don't divide our time in 3. Gush is a big Tanakh Mecca. And yet even in Gush, it's only 2 hours a day max, and we're learning 10, 12 hours a day. So tell us, quotes the Gaonim who provide this answer. When you're Balabas, then in that context, it's not just solving the problem of disproportion, it's essentially getting your daily quota of learning, and even if you don't get a chance to learn that day, chas v'shalom. So just getting in the fact that at least I've covered my bases, that I can go to sleep at night knowing that I've learned some Torah, and I haven't been mevatel Torah that day. Which is interesting, because balabatim take korbanos much more seriously than yeshiva bachim. As across the yeshiva world, yeshiva bachim don't really say korbanos that much. Balabatim take it deadly serious. They're welcome to any shul, Baal Badna come on time. And I think to a degree it makes sense. I'm not justifying the fact that Yeshiva Bachram done that's the minute, but to a degree Yeshiva Bachram are learning the whole day. So the Korbanos is a way to solve the problem. There are other ways to solve the problem. Tosus has an answer, the Minatam is an answer, Beishal has plenty of ways to give an answer for the why I don't spend 3 hours, 4 hours a day learning Tanakh. But for Balabatim, where this may be your only... So one day when you're a Balabas, which for some of you may come next year, you may not be in yeshiva next year in a basic matter, so you have to try to at least condition yourself. A lot of yeshiva, especially Minyan, is conditioning yourself for the types of experiences that you'll need to excel at when you leave yeshiva. So just keep in mind that Korbanos is not something that... someone once quipped with me, a yeshiva bachar, once quipped with me and said, how come Pesach has special mitzvahs you only perform on Pesach? Matzah, chametz, and sukkahs has many mitzvahs you only perform on sukkahs, and mitzvahs hayom, sukkah, and lulav. What's the special mitzvah you only perform on Shavuot? Staying up all night and learning, it's a minag, and we learn the whole year. What's the special mitzvah that you only perform once a year on Shavuot? I didn't know. I said, what's a mitzvah? He said, korbanos. Because everyone's up all night. Everyone starts at the beginning. Everyone says Karbanos, it's a lot of Karbanos on Shavuot. You're trying to stay up. Okay, that's a little bit, not go off color, but that's a little bit of a frivolous yeshiva bachrum joke. Okay, but try to get a little bit of Karbanos. It doesn't have to be every day. Maybe you want to rotate one day, say, Bereis Tzedev Yishmael. Anyway, getting back to our conversation. So what this tefillah shows is that the following. First of all, when you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not davening without moral mandate. When we talked about the Yud Gimel Midos and how Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim is so powerful, it's because you're thinking about moral behavior, you're thinking about moral traits, and at some level, if you're honest, if you're not emotionally dissonant, where you think one thing but you avoid it, you know, there's so much emotional dissonance where you say certain things and you think certain things and you don't really let them affect you. You're just saying them from a distance. That was a big claim of the Khuzar king against Yehuda Levi. At some point, the Khuzar king turns to Yehuda Levi, or to the Chacham in Yehuda Levi's book, Khuzar, and he says, you Jews, you're all hypocrites. You say three times a day, V'yidushalayim yirchav, V'yidushalayim yirchav, V'sechazenu yinayim v'sech, and no one's getting up to move. You can all move to Israel. And at some point, we all create this distance. We say certain things, but we don't let it challenge ourselves. We keep it at distance. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like when you're in high school, sometimes there's that distance. It's other people's lives. I'm reading about other people's lives. And then now it's your life. And now the decisions you make are going to really affect who you are and who you become and the one life you lead. So you create that distance. Yud Gimel Midos helps us bridge the distance because they're very frontal. If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a Rachum, well, are you a Rachum? If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a Chanun, are you a Chanun? Are you a HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a Nasev and Nefesh V'Chata V'Nake? Are you a Nasev and Nefesh V'Chata V'Nake? And I think that's what Avram is saying, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not just davening for Am Yisrael. I'm davening because I'm not just talking the talk, I'm walking the walk. I was Kovesh. It was so hard for me to sacrifice my son, and I overcame it, and I overpowered myself, and I'd like that same treatment. In fact, I deserve that treatment. My children deserve that treatment. So think about that when you daven, when you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the easiest way in life to get by is to ask for undeserved rewards. I don't deserve it because you acquit yourself from responsibility and accountability. The harder way is to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I deserve it, because that demands that you actually live a lifestyle that warrants the deserving. So there's a certain part of tefillah where I deserve certain things that comes with moral responsibility, that comes with concomitant obligations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to leave. Remember my Zaidi would tell me that when he escaped the Holocaust, and it was really a series of events, one of these classic stories, got on the train, last passport, last train, didn't have the money, Germany got okay, you've heard all the stories, minute by minute escaping. He always turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I take care of your business, you take care of my business. That was his tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a deal, we're partners. I'm learning, I hope to be a Rebbe one day, I hope to spend my life being an Oved Hashem, I take care of your business. It wasn't pleading and begging and pleas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I expect, I have expectations because my behavior warrants those types of expectations. And it's a different type of relationship, and Avram has reached that level. And at some point, you may not have the experience to back it up, but hopefully you're trying to become that person. Zayin Kadosh Baruch, I'm davening to you now as a yeshiva bachar from a slightly different vantage point. Second of all, it demonstrates the central value of one trait. If you're looking for one trait in life, one trait, so different schools of Musar will say different things, but if you're looking for one trait to really work hard on, it would be called Kovesh. It's known in the Musar Sefer as Shover Es Yitzro, where you break yourself. You have a Midah and you learn how to break it. You learn how to counter yourself. You learn how to take that Midah and invert it. You learn diversity. You learn discipline. You learn self-control. And really, to a degree, Avram is facing that same type of kovish, because his calling card is Avas Hashem. He's known as an Oiv Hashem, and now he's asked to perform Akedas Yitzchak, which is a sign of Yiras Hashemayim, without getting into the differences right now between Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. But it's clear that Hashem realizes the ability of Avram to shift gears. Ata yadati ki yirei Elokim ata. Beforehand, you prove that you're an Oiv Hashem. Now I know you can also be a Yirei Shemayim. And Ava and Yira are contradictory. And we'll discuss at some point how do you reconcile the two. But this is called Kovashis Yitzro, Shoveris Yitzro. I would describe it in English as, restraint. Where there's a certain need, feeling, desire, interest, inclination, trait, and you restrain. And you impose mind over matter. You impose will. You repress. You hold. Just because you repress something doesn't mean you eliminate it. You just may not express it now. You'll express it later. In general in life, much of midos are what I like to call TDC. Timing, degree, and context. Every trait HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you is powerful. Hashem doesn't put traits into your heart for you just to eliminate them. That would be taunting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be flagged for taunting 15 yards. Hashem doesn't taunt us. Hashem gives us traits, and every trait that we have, including the traits that are very scary, ego and anger and rebelliousness and sexuality, every trait Hashem delivers to you has a purpose. It's when, where, how much, degree, timing, context. So a lot of times in life we're asked to suppress, but not because we want to expunge it and eliminate it, just now's not the time, now's not the context. A member of Lichtenstein once told me that at Moshe, his son, Rev Moshe, your Rosh Hashiva, at Moshe's wedding, he said he was an Avil. And Rav Aaron was a tremendous Machmir, and if there was an area that Rav Aaron was a big Machmir, it was an Avilus. He was a tremendous Machmir. He didn't like any of the gimmicks that people devised to avoid Avilus. He felt Avilus should be indulged in rather than escaped from. So he didn't like people serving as waiters, and he was very, very machmir. But he wanted to be part of his son Moshe's wedding. So he went to Shlomo Zalman looking for a heter. Sounds like a joke. Rav Aaron comes into Shlomo Zalman looking, he's very close to the Shlomo Zalman. And Shlomo Zalman didn't give him a heter. So Rav Aaron was sidelined during the wedding. I think he may have been at the chuppah, I don't remember. You can ask your Moshe today if you want to go over. He'll come to, by the way, I have a question for you. Where's your father at your chuppah? But I think it was at the chuppah, but not at the dancing. And Rav Aaron told me afterwards that looking back, he's more in touch with the love he felt for his son that night, having repressed it, than he would have been in touch with it years later, having expressed it. Had he danced at the wedding, it would have been another wedding. It's 6 children. It would have been another child danced at the wedding, another wedding. But he remembers the energy it took to repress that feeling, and he's more in touch with the love. It's not like he doesn't love his son. It's not like he didn't express the love. He expressed it through repression. He engaged in it emotionally by repressing it. So much of life is finding the ability to have a need, I have a want, I'm hungry, I have a desire, but can I just show restraint? Can I just hold back? I want to say something, I want to retell. Can I be quiet? A lot of it has to do with your tongue. Shmiras HaLashon is not just cursing and Lashon Naki and Lashon Hara. Half of Shmiras HaLashon, I promise you, you're just not saying anything. If you're very, very disciplined about what you say, not to the point that you're neurotic, but to the point that you're careful, you've got Shmiras HaLashon 60% solved. 60% of it is just mouthing off and saying things and running off with our tongues and over-speaking and taking, it's just, if you're very, very careful, if you decide to be a quiet person, not a standoffish person, not introverted, not I'm smug and I don't want to talk to anyone, but just be the quiet, smiley, smile a lot, listen. If you're a good listener, you don't speak that much, not like me that speaks a lot. You're half the road down to being successful at Shmiras HaLashon. So it's Kvishas HaYetzer, Kvishas HaLashon, Kvishas HaKas, anger, kvishas, ego. If you just take that word, because remember, Avram is inverting kvisha. He's saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I was kovesh rachamim, I want you to be kovesh ka. So essentially, it's not the same experience, not the same exercise. I was kovesh my mercy, you have to be kovesh your anger. So Avram is extrapolating kvisha, saying there could be kovesh, and it could be extrapolated to many, many different parts of life. Kovesh kas, kovesh yetzer, kovesh ego, kovesh rachamim. Sometimes in life, you have to be kovesh rachamim. Sometimes in life, rachamim can turn into achzarios. You have to be kovesh rachamim sometimes. You have to, right now, I would hope that every soldier, every pilot who delivers a bomb into Gaza knows that there's some chance, hopefully not, hopefully the collateral damage has been severely limited, and Baruch Hashem it has, I think, a disproportionate percentage of the people that were killed were actual terrorists. I think very, very few innocent civilians. But there are some pilots that are going to have blood on their hands. Not guilty blood. They're not guilty, but are going to be responsible for the death of innocent civilians. And you just have to pull the trigger. You just have to. You're saving lives. You're saving people from themselves, saving people from terror. And you have a lot of, obviously, I'm dramatizing it. I don't think any of you are going to be pilots dropping bombs in Gaza. You may be, but it's a question of learning sometimes to act. Now, just in my own experience, I don't have too many, but sometimes, yeah, the Gemara says to learn Torah, you can. Sometimes you have to tell your children and your wife, I just can't be there. I have to sit in the basement and learn. A friend wants to call you. A friend's coming in for Thanksgiving, says, let's get together. Let's go out to a restaurant, just like old times. Like, I now have Seder, and I don't want to break my Seder. And I don't mean any insult to you, but I'm in a different place right now, and I have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And walking out on Seder, at least at this point, I think for most of you, should be at that stage where just indiscriminately walking out on Seder is turning your back on something. You're tired, you go to your room and sleep. You want to rest a little, but just simply blowing off a Seder, it's not at this point something that should be countenanced and tolerated. Right now, it's not about you and me and is Rabbi Tarragon going to see and is the night said. It's about you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And halavai that I received an email from a boy in Lakewood, a long, long email, pouring his heart out to me about his deliberations about leaving yeshiva because he's 24. And I really want to read it to you because I really want you to see the beautiful struggle he's going through. And halavai, you should be in that place where Torah is so central that you can't fathom. It's like he's facing this nightmare. How can I ever face a life outside of the base matters? It's like so meaningless. And he's writing it in a very sweet and sensitive way. It's not judgmental. I don't want to read the letter to you unless I get his permission. So I wanted to ask him if I suppressed the name and some of the details. But so maybe you're not at that level. Maybe that's not the way we view life, but certainly the sense of accountability and a life of accountability, life of I'm responsible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm responsible to fulfill my duties. And in a way that duty shouldn't be scary. Duty is healthy. Duty frames. Duty solidifies. Duty creates connections, creates larger things. A person who's totally free is no duty, no responsibility, so you're free. And we've seen the dark side of unlimited freedom in our world. We've seen the dark side of addiction. We've seen the dark side of identity crisis. We've seen the dark. So part of it is living a life of duty. Anyway, I want to talk about the second tefillah of Avram, but it's a little bit too late. So we'll talk about the second tefillah tomorrow. I hope, I really, really hope that this is not me ranting and me. I want that your experience of tefillah shouldn't just be, okay, they expect us and I'm disciplined and I'm not there, but a sense of awakening and discovery and tefillahs. And even if I don't understand the words, it's not just I'm not here telling you what Halleluka means and Baruch Shama that you can do on your own or read Svarim, but how this emotional world all of a sudden springs to life. Your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are the expectations? How can I talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Makom? And tomorrow we'll talk about Avram's Tefillah. So that hopefully there's a desire to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you do your best. I keep saying this, don't pin successful Tefillah on Kavanah. Kavana is the least of the issues. There's so many ways to interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're standing in tefillah that are completely independent of Kavana. And don't judge yourself and don't get frustrated if you don't have Kavana. I know many, many people who are sitting in Olam Haba right now. I promise you, they came to me in every day that probably didn't understand a word that they were saying their whole lives. And you may have met some of these older men in Shul. But if you ask them, what does this word mean? Weissach nicht. Was macht mir China? They say something in Yiddish. Weissach nicht. Was macht mir China? Du bist ein Yeshiva-Bacher. Hat nicht gehen. Versteht sich. And they come to Davin every day. They open their sitter in the front row and they shuckle. And trust me, they had a deep, meaningful tefillah experience. So sometimes we become too sophisticated for our own good. I want to understand it and explain it. Just sometimes it's just a lot of raw energy in just chanting Tehillim. You know, many bubbies who just chant Tehillim. Some of your bubbies probably are Tehillim chanters, right? Any bubbies that you know or answer that just run through Tehillim? You start to say, Bubby, what does the redox say? The pusuk. They say, the quack? Just quack like a duck? So the redox. Oh, quack. I know what you're talking about, right? But you've met them. You've met these bubbies. And there's a lot of deep religious energy that comes across with just standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thinking about the relationship. Because when you're learning, you're thinking about will, and it's intellectual, and it's meaningful. We're trying to help you as best we can to convert that into something deep and profound and pursuing Hashem's Ratzon, not just a math equation. But there's something very different about tefillah. And I just really want you to encounter that and explore it over Shabbos as well. And Amir Tz Hashem, we'll talk about the second tefillah tomorrow. the second tefillah. One, sometimes, I'll just give you a little bit of a trailer, sometimes tefillahs are a little bit complex. They're not just straightforward, they're complex. Sometimes tefillahs in life are straightforward. Sometimes they're very ambivalent and complex, and that shouldn't prevent you.